Blog Talk Radio.
So excited when I think of all the things you've done for me. Do as you will, you want done with me. Oh yeah, 'cause I'm tired of fighting. Sometimes it gets hard, I cannot do it alone. 'Cause I need you, yeah, on my side. You are the light up high
to worship you.
To worship you.
And I bow down on my knees.
My knees.
All praise to you.
All praise to you.
Up high
to worship you.
I vow to be humble. Yeah, hearken to my sincere supplication. When I'm weak and when I stumble, you are always there to catch me when I fall. You are my rock and salvation. Only one that I can trust, you're my best friend. Whenever I'm in doubt, to you I'll give a shout. With hands held high, I'll be calling on your name. Yeah, I raise
to worship you.
Bow down,
all
praise
to you.
Up high. I need you. Yeah, I need you. Yeah, I need you. Oh, I need you. Oh, I need you. Oh, I need you. I need you. Oh,
I need you.
I really need you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That was so beautiful. Hallelujah. I don't know why I never heard that before. Hallelujah. Before I forget, this is the Hebrew Israelite Elder Show. Hallelujah. And we are the elders of the Hebrew Israelite Nation. I am Elder Yaliah, and we have Ima Ahaya with us. Hello, Ima. Hallelujah.
Shalom, shalom, Elder.
Welcome again. Hallelujah. Man, that was a beautiful song. That was a beautiful song. And I'm glad you saved one of the best, because we've played a lot of beautiful songs this year, but you saved one of the best, one of the prettiest ones for the last show of the year. Well, at least their year in this Gregorian calendar. Beautiful, beautiful. I need you. And boy, do we need the Most High now. We're in the midst of one of the darkest times of history. The only time, and we're just entering. So don't get it twisted. We're just entering. We're just scratching the surface. It's dark now, but oh, it's going to get so much darker. But the darker it gets, the brighter the light shines. Hallelujah. The light is so much brighter in dense darkness. Hallelujah. And we know what the light is. The light is the truth. Yahuwah's truth, the Most High's truth. So what we got to do is stand strong. And don't compromise. Don't compromise Yahuwah's truth. Stand strong. And I like what Shaul said. After you've done all to stand, that means in your earthly strength, after you've done all to stand, what did he say? He said, just stand anyway. Just stand. Just stand. Because he said he's going to win. We can't win this battle. But we are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
Hallelujah.
When I say we can't win it, I'm talking about it in our flesh. We can't go missile for missile. You know, they have all kind of demonic artillery at their disposal. So we can't go tank for tank, missile for missile, nuclear warhead for nuclear warhead. That's what I mean by we can't go in this flesh realm. But boy, in the spirit, that's where the war changes. That's where it tilts heavily into our favor. Those who love the Most High, the marked people. We're not talking about the mark, the devil's mark. We're talking about those who are marked by the Most High. He said, though we live in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They may not be carnal, but they are something. Here's one thing they are. He says, they are mighty. He says, they're not carnal. They are mighty. And I like to say mightier. You know, they look at the tanks and the nuclear warheads and everything. Those might be mighty as far as man's accomplishments, but to compare them to an all-wise creator, there's nothing, a speck of dirt, a speck of sand on the seashore, they're nothing. So those, the weapons we have, carnal, but they're mighty through Yahuwah. They're so mighty that they pull down and destroy strongholds. Argument, debates, and anything that tried to oppose itself against the Most High's truth. That's taking into captivity every thought to the obedience of our Mashiach, who is the living word. So every thought, every argument, every logic, every, I'll call it unlogical debate, everything that's trying to nick away, you know, chip away at the word, at the foundational word of truth, to try to, you know, hold your fist up to the Most High, so to speak. He destroys every argument and every word that tried to oppose the truth. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the living word. He says, every thought will be taken to the obedience of Yahushua, the living word of the Most High. So this is our last night. Hallelujah. I just want to give thanks and praise that we made it thus far. According to this Gregorian calendar, we've made it to Tuesday, December the 28th, 21. Now, why do you drag that out? Well, some people went to bed last night, December 27th, and they didn't get up this morning. They made it all the way to the 27th, but they didn't get up on the 28th. So we have a lot to be thankful for. But if we're looking at this thing right, we shouldn't just be happy that we got up. Yes, be happy, but don't just be happy for that. On the battlefield, where you have a chance to win in Yah's army, all of us who are called by the Most High, He gave us a particular calling, and it's up to us to let the Ruach HaKodesh lead us, guide us, navigate us through on to victory. That's our greatest, that's the greatest thing we could do in this life. It's twofold, to know your calling and to fulfill your calling. It's not good enough just to know it, but you have to fulfill it. You got to walk it out. You have to walk it out. Because my greatest desire at this point is to be able to speak the words of the great apostle Shaul at the end of his life when he says, time of my departure is at hand. And he went on to say, that's what I love about the Most High. He has a witness. He has a list of witnesses. Everyone, every mighty man of the Most High that we see written through Scripture, they have this testimony. They were so close to the Most High. They even knew the time of their departure. Kepha knew the time of his departure. Shaul knew the time of his departure. If you read the testimonies of the patriarchs, you would know Jacob knew the time of his departure. Moses knew the time of his departure. The Most High said, Moses, I want you to go up to this mountain. I want you to look over. I'm going to show you how beautiful this promised land. I'm going to show you that all this time that I led you, and let you lead your people, it was not in vain. There really was a promised land. And you know why you're not going to go over there. But if Moses has something greater than to go physically into the promised land at that point, because he knows he's going to be eternally with the Most High in the eternal kingdom, in that renewed earth. He let Moses look over and see the promised land. And then he guided him off into the place where he was going to take his last breath. See, me and Elder did a show, I think it was a couple of months ago, maybe about 3 months ago or so. It was called A Right Way to Live and A Right Way to Die. If you live right, Yah will let you die right. You say, die? Yes. Death to those who are in Mashiach is not a dreadful thing. No, the show is not about death tonight, but it's about life. Because those who are in Mashiach, we just transition from what we know is this death experience onto life, life eternal. What does Shaul say? He say oh my goodness, getting tongue tied. He said to die is gain, you know. To live is Mashiach. It means he's living his life as a servant of Mashiach, but to die is gain. That means he will gain eternal life and be in the presence of the Most High forevermore. To die will be gain. Hallelujah. So we're just looking back at this. There's a lot of people who didn't get up months ago, didn't make it out of the month of January. Some didn't make it out of the month of May or October. So praise the Most High that you have time, that we have time to not only know our calling, but to fulfill it, because you are a failure. I would be a failure. We all would be a failure if we do not call in of the Most High. Success is not how much money you have, how many material possessions you have. Life does not consist of the things that man possesses. You could gain the whole world material-wise and lose your own soul. Usha asked the question, what can a man give in exchange for his soul? No, nothing. So this is the greatest accomplishment we can ever make, is to not only know our calling, but to fulfill it. And just by you being alive and able to hear another broadcast, able to open your eyes another day, you have a chance to fulfill your calling. As I said, at this stage of my life, that's numero uno. That's all it's about. That's why we don't fear death. We don't fear persecution. Because all things work together for good to those who are in Mashiach. So if we have to go through the roads of persecution, we have to go through the roads of violence or whatever, and we're talking about violence against us. We're not talking about us initiating violence. Make that clear. For those who are in Messiah, we do not fear. We're too busy fulfilling our calling. Hallelujah. Tonight's program. All right. Tonight's program. Hallelujah. On the year 2021. That's one part of it. The other part is looking ahead to the challenges of 2022. Hallelujah. And we have a foundational scripture. And I'm pulling that up as we speak. Hallelujah. The foundational scripture is found in the book of Philippians 13 and 14. I'm going to read it. I'm going to paraphrase it too. I'm going to bring it alive. Hallelujah. With the help of the Ruach HaKodesh. And this is going to be out of the version of, I usually read the King James, but this is going to be the Amplified, the AMP version. Hallelujah. With added paraphrase. It reads as follows. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it my own yet. In other words, I have not reached perfection. By Yahuwah. Pause right there. Because this is the part that we just cannot pass over.
Of the Spanish professor of this.
We can't pass over this right here. I'm going to read this out of the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 13, and I'm going to start at the ninth verse. Hallelujah. So 1 Corinthians, chapter 13, and we're going to be reading verses 9 through 13. And the computer's a little slow. Just give me a few seconds. It'll be up. Okay. And I'm going to read it out of the AMP version also. Hallelujah.
It shouldn't be that slow. Okay, here we go. All right. Ema, you might have to sing a song while this computer is... Okay, hallelujah. We got it. Hallelujah. Here we go. So, Shaul was saying he hasn't reached, he hasn't apprehended yet. He hasn't reached that perfection yet. And here's where we all are to varying degrees. We're right here. I'm going to start at verse 9. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm starting at verse 9. I'm going to read on down through 14. So, none of us haven't attained that level of perfection that our Mashiach had, but we're on our way. Transition. So look where we are. This is a mirror pointing right back at us. It says, for right now, we know in part. So for those people who try to act like they know it all, go right to the word and say, well, brother, sister, it says right now, the most we can know is in part. It says, we know in part. That means our knowledge is just partial right now. We know in part, and we prophesy in part. For our knowledge is fragmentary and incomplete as of now. It says, but when that which is complete and perfect comes, that which is incomplete and partial will pass away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You probably say, well, when is that? Well, you got to read on to the other chapter when he says, this corruptible shall put on incorruptible. This perishable shall put on imperishable. When it says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So that change is going to come. Perfection is going to come. It says, but when that which is complete and perfect comes, that which is incomplete and partial will pass away. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now, in this time of imperfection, we see in a mirror, dimly, a blurred reflection, a riddle, an enigma. But then, when the time of perfection comes, we will see reality, hallelujah, face to face. Now, I know in part, just in fragments, but then I will know fully, just as I have been fully known by Yahuwah. Will you stop and reflect on that? We're going to know Yahuwah just as clearly and fully as we are known by him. Talking about perfection and talking about beauty. That's just like the relationship he had with Adam before the fall. What were they doing? They were walking and talking together. Adam walked with the Most High. He talked with the Most High. Cool of the day. That's how clear, that's how close and intimate we're going to know the Most High. We're going to know him just as clearly as we are known by him. Hallelujah. Okay, and it says, and now there remain faith, abiding trust in the Most High and his promises, hope, confident expectation of eternal salvation, and love, unselfish love for others, growing out of Yahuwah's love for me. These three, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to return to our foundational scripture. So that portion was inserted with it. Okay, so he said, brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it my own yet. Haven't reached perfection yet. Hallelujah. But one thing I do, all right, forgetting what lies behind, 2021. In other words, I'm taking my focus off the past and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I'm placing my focus on what lies in front of me. Hallelujah. Fulfilling Yahuwah's will and purpose for your life. Hallelujah. It says, I press on toward the goal.
You know, King James Version say, I press towards the mark. I press towards the goal to win the heaven, to win or attain the heavenly prize of the high calling of Yahuwah in Yahusha HaMashiach. In other words, my chief aim right now is to fulfill the calling that Yahuwah has placed on my life, to finish the job, to be able to utter the same words, as I said before, at the end of our lives that our brother Shaul was able to utter when he said, the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which Yahusha HaMashiach, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're going to hit the reset button as we cross on over into the Gregorian year, 2022. Now, when the word says forgetting, that's why I like to go to the Amplified. It don't mean forget, because there are valuable lessons to be learned that were in the past. But it means that's not where your energy and focus will be. So your energy and focus is going to be primarily on the things ahead. But we're not going to forget the lessons we learned in 2021 and in the past. Okay? People say, well, what's some of those things? Let's just backtrack for a little bit. They told us, now these are the so-called experts, they told us, if you get this, this spooky thing that's floating around, this invisible pestilence that's out here. Now we know, they say hindsight is 2020. Some people rushed, that was enough for them, scared the bejesus out of them, scared the hell out of them. They ran. Without doing research, and well, some of them say, well, I did my research. Their research was CNN. Their research was MSNBC or Fox. Their research was listening to the White House press secretary. That was their research. That was enough for them, or Dr. Fauci himself, you know, the grand poobah. And they ran out, stuck out their arms, only to find out, not many days hence, that was a big lie. Not only you can get this pestilence, this demon that's floating around out there, you can die from it. So you can be hospitalized. So you couldn't die. You can die from it. Then they said, if you get the booster, well, the two jabs were good, but they just wasn't quite good enough. But the third one will be good enough. Then you can't get it. You'll be, what's their favorite word? Protected. Protected. You will be protected. Now we know that's a lie. Who have the third, called the booster, they're not only are getting it, and they're not only are, some of them have been hospitalized, but some of them have even died. Now, we did the two studies in the state of Massachusetts. This was earlier this year. And the report out of the country, Israel. What was unique about those? And they weren't so unique, because there's a lot of areas that had the same findings. But these two actually published it. The one in Massachusetts took it down after a while. It was gaining too much traction. Too many people were using it and say, whoa, we were hoodwinked. The Massachusetts study and the Israel, article, the report, they had a large spike in this virus. And not only it was a large spike, but the people were being hospitalized. So these were very serious cases. Some even ended in death. Now, here was the thing. The vast majority, I believe it was 70 to 85%, the vast majority were people who were fully, fully jabbed, fully jabbed. So what a big lie. And the thing is, they're still lying, and people are still believing them. Boy, was that scripture true when it says, the God of this world has blinded the eyes of them which believe not. Their eyes have been blinded, and they are spellbound. Yes, this is not no Bewitched, that old show Bewitched. This is real witchcraft. This is dark magic. This is within the Most High. But for those who are not protected, this is way out of their league. Why do you think people are walking around with just believing a lie without even questioning? And not only they believe a lie, they're trying to convince you to believe a lie. How many people who took the jab have went on to become disciples of Fauci and these other so-called experts? So CNN and Fox and MSNBC don't even have to push this thing no more. They have millions of disciples, even black disciples, especially in the clergy. The so-called black preachers are leading the charge. Not only are they leading their congregation into this pit, but they're actually turning their places of ill repute, I don't know what to call them anymore, their temples, they're turning them into vaccine centers. So any Tom, Dick, and Harry off the street can just walk in. Now, he might never go there on a Sunday, but he'll go there and get his jab. Well, they're going to have their repayment. It's going to be somebody far greater than me going to repay them. Hallelujah. Unless they repent. Can they repent? I don't know. That's up to the Most High. But boy, that's going to take a lot of energy for something that evil, the evil deeds, the level of evil that they have to sink to lead their people like the Pied Piper, like the demonic Pied Piper, to lead their people right to the slaughter. And they did it without even showing any remorse, without cracking a smile. So they're going to have their day. They're going to have their day. Hallelujah. So, what we have on the agenda, we talked about 2021 and how we should just be thankful that we can still breathe and we can still pursue that high calling that Shaul was speaking of. Know the Most High's purpose for your life and to actually pursue that purpose, to pursue that calling, with an aim to fulfill it, so you too can say at the end of your life, I have fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. You completed the job. And you know what the Most High, his response will be, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Most High. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have some videos. Now we're going to pivot, and we're going to actually talk about what's ahead for 2022. And to start that off, we have a clip. And prayerfully, I pray that this clip is listened to, the discernment of the Ruach HaKodesh. The gentleman who's narrating this clip, I don't know his spiritual walk, but some of the things, you know, that I felt he left out, I felt they were important. You know, I'll just say one example. You don't hear anything about the continent of Africa. You say, well, what that got to do with it? Well, you'll see why. He pretty much mentions every other part of the world. But that's okay. That's why chew the meat, spit out the bone, as they say. And you're going to listen to it with discerning ears. Now, I say that to say this. There is some very good information. There's some pertinent information. Remember, this is just coming from a secular source, a person who's supposed to be an insider and who's privy to information at very high levels. What the scripture says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, power, spiritual weakness in high places. This person is supposed to have access or once had access to these high places. And the information's been passed on to him, and he's, I guess, calling himself, saying one good deed deserves another, so he's passing it on. I would even say pray for him, because that's a rat race out there, so they eliminate people. Pray for him, just like we pray for each other. So listen to this under discernment of the Ruach HaKodesh. And if you do that, you can glean some good information. What doesn't ring true, chew the meat, play it, and then we're going to come back, Iman and I, we're going to give our commentary. Before I cue it up, Iman, did you want to have some words before we go ahead and play this? Ima?
I'm sorry, I had it on mute.
okay.
I just wanted to give you an opportunity.
I had a long dialogue,
yeah.
So I just wanted to give you an opportunity before we cue this video up.
Oh, no, I'm waiting to enjoy it with you, because we do have that one. Then we have a 9-minute one that I have, and I have another about 3-minute one, and you have one that's about 2 minutes. So let's get started, because we need to put this forward for people to start to understand. If they're not understanding by now, it's still for them to understand. And if they already understand a lot of things that are going on, it's time for them to get even more clear on the subject of us having to get ready, get ourselves ready, because that time is so near. So
Yahushua
is going to send Yahushua to bring his people home. So go ahead, Elder, and pray. I pray that everything's well with it, so go ahead and do that.
All right. Hallelujah. So here we go. I'm going to cue this up. Turn everything down first so it gets started. So the next thing you hear should be the information. Hallelujah.
Okay.
This is another one of my translations of the Spanish professor of history and theology, Damian Galeron. The title of this audio is Events to Come for 2021-2022. From now on, I will be warning people that what's coming is very hard, very, very hard. As I'm specialized in history, I will be commenting on events that are now affecting our world. I receive information from American and Russian intelligence agencies. They give me information so that I may give it out in my classes. The information I receive comes from the very highest level within these intelligence services than you can imagine. The information I now have concerns three processes that are going to happen. These three processes will be practically continuous. In other words, there will be hardly any break between them. The first one we will live through is a blackout. Suddenly, we will be all at home, reading or on the internet, and the light will go out. Even after 3 to 4 hours, we'll still not come back. This time the light will be out for months. There will be no electricity, no internet, no telephones. There will be nothing. There will be no distribution of foodstuffs. Everything will be paralyzed. Everything. There won't be any international flights. Cars won't work. Absolutely everything will be paralyzed. Everything. What is the purpose of all of this? Its purpose is to eliminate many millions of people. The global elites say there are too many people on Earth. In 3 years, they intend to eliminate 5,000 million people. And I'll tell you something, they are going to achieve their goal. By Christmas, a lot of foodstuffs and products will be missing in the shops. This is not my opinion, but information obtained from American and Russian intelligence services. On the 4th of October this year, they brought down the communication system of the entire world. This was a practice run of what's to come. Everything will collapse, everything. And the person who hasn't food set aside will very probably die of starvation. What is coming is very hard, but I must tell you that the fun and games are now over. I won't mince my words here. What is coming is much more difficult than what you could ever imagine. I hope, therefore, that you will respect the information I have about this blackout. The information I have says it will occur in January, but I wouldn't rule out the possibility that these lowlifes might make it happen even earlier. According to the prophecy of Luz de Maria, this blackout will happen when Europe is under a blanket of snow. This means it will occur in January or February. We have, therefore, about 2 months to prepare and to make decisions. Our first decision must be to set aside food for a very minimum of 5 months. Put aside lots of pulses, such as lentils, chickpeas, beans, non-perishables, because they last for years. Also various forms of pasta. Buy lots of tinned foods. Also some salt and sugar. When the blackout comes to an end, the global elite will start World War III. The Third World War is already prepared. The battlefield will be Europe. It will be a Russian and Chinese alliance to destroy Europe and to attack the United States. It will be a thermonuclear war in which previously unknown weapons will be used, and they will use intercontinental ballistic missiles to kill 2,200 million people in 3 weeks. This is intelligence information. It is not my opinion. The war won't last long, but 50% of Europe will be exterminated. Countries like Holland, Belgium, a part of Georgia, Hungary and Romania will all disappear. A part of Germany and a large section of France will disappear. In 2 years, the US will lose 180 million people. Spain will lose 30 million. Mexico, 50 million. Costa Rica will lose half its population. All these losses will happen in 2 years and are described in my last video on World War III, entitled, Everything is in Code. The third process will be the impact of an asteroid on our Earth on one of the first 15 days of May. This asteroid is very possibly the warning of the illumination of conscience. This is the warning announced in Garabandal, very possibly. We won't talk now about the punishment, which is Planet X, which will be upon us in the year 2023 or 2024. I get information from astrophysicists and very high-ranking military personnel also. It's not that I'm very clever, but that I receive information from them, which I then pass on to you. I want to warn you that the blackout will be much more frightening and terrifying than World War III. This will be so because during the war, businesses will be open as long as the war is not on your doorstep. And you will be able to buy things and move around, at least to some degree. However, during the blackout, martial law will be imposed and you won't be able to leave your house, not even to walk the dog. If you do, you will be shot on the spot without explanation. Now, this may be slightly different in some countries. It may be a little bit easier in some places than in others. Hundreds of thousands of people will commit suicide because of this blackout. The next thing is the effect of the vaccine. This will be frightening. Also, while we are all in lockdown, they will release a virus which will be terrifying. This virus will account for the deaths of a large part of humanity. The third process is the impact of the asteroid. I will give you the technical details in case you wish to memorize them. It is 7 kilometers in diameter. The information I have from the astrophysicists is that when it enters our atmosphere, it will break up into two big parts. The slightly smaller part will impact on the Atlantic, quite near Florida. The other part will land in the Pacific Ocean. Using mathematical models, the expansive waves that they will generate will reach 9,000 kilometers across. Wherever these waves travel, nothing will be left standing, neither trees, nor houses, nor mountains, because they are going to be hills and mountains that will be totally washed away. I'm conscious that what I'm saying is very hard, but I have privileged information, and it's only fair that you also should have this information. The technical details of this impact are absolutely frightening. All the islands of the Atlantic will disappear, including the Canary Islands. All the islands of the Caribbean will also disappear. Cuba will disappear. A great part of Puerto Rico will disappear. The countries of Guatemala, Costa Rica, Nicaragua, and Panama will be seriously destroyed. New York, Washington, and New Jersey will disappear. The peninsulas of Labrador and Florida will disappear. All of Florida, Tampa, and Miami will completely disappear. Nothing will remain. The waves that reach Europe could reach half a kilometer high, while those reaching America, Colombia, Venezuela, and Brazil could reach 600 meters high. As I said, this information comes from American and Russian intelligence agencies. They only differ by 5 days as to when in the first fortnight of May this will all happen. What I've said is very, very hard, very worrying, and also very distressing. But it is what it is. All of these three processes will coincide with the second blood moon, which occurs in May. I have warned about how dangerous this blood moon is before, because just before it, they will have eliminated the Eucharist. The Eucharist will be eliminated definitively and for good. There will be no more masses said publicly. There will still be some priests who will say mass privately and in secret, at home, in a barn, or some hiding hole. Once they eliminate the Eucharist, be very careful, because any masses that are still being said could have satanic parts inserted into them. After a series of questions from his audience, Galeron makes the following additional points. World War III will last around 3 weeks and will be brought to an end by the impact of the asteroid. Galeron tells a Puerto Rican woman who was nervous about the impending disaster that he gives tremendous importance to prayer. He tells her how Saint Philip was transported 1,000 kilometers by the angels. Similar things will happen to us, things that will astound us and that we will find very difficult to explain. He is then asked about Planet X. He says this monster from space will move all of the continents as if they were sponges. It's his opinion that Planet X is the punishment spoken of in Garavando. This will be further out in the timeline, so he will deal with this in a later video. He says that the intelligence sources that contacted said that the many thousands of children now being born of vaccinated mothers are not human. They are what he calls hominoids. He said all the vaccinated are now undergoing biological changes, personality and character transformations. All the vaccinated are going through this. He says we haven't the slightest idea of the horror that will befall humanity. A Mexican woman then asks him, if the Pacific or the Atlantic side of Mexico will be most devastated. He tells her that every coastal city in every country of the world will disappear under the water. Every city in every country of the world that has a coastline. Pick any city you like. All of them will disappear under the water, without exception. What I'm saying is hard to take, but you must tell others, and very hard decisions will have to be taken because of this information. You need to get out of the city. If you can't buy a property in the country, rent one. Remember, with the blackout, all debts will be cancelled because the entire financial system is going to collapse. And only the vaccinated will be able to recover their money later. When the blackout is over and the chaos subsides, the vaccinated will recover their money. The unvaccinated will not get anything. Therefore, we must take out our money out of the banks now before this blackout starts. But it's not a good idea, of course, to take it all out in one go, but rather gradually do so. The impact of the asteroid on the oceans will break the underwater tectonic plate. Remember, this asteroid is 7 kilometers in diameter and has a speed of between 50 and 60,000 kilometers per hour. So what will be the reaction when it hits the sea? All the underwater and the land-based volcanoes will erupt, and we will be facing a nuclear winter as the entire sky goes black with the stuff that will be thrown up out of the volcanoes. So what does this mean? It means that places like Costa Rica, with an average temperature of 28 to 30 degrees, will be facing temperatures of 12 degrees below zero. And people are going to die of cold. It will be like this for months. Countries in Europe will have temperatures of between 50 and 60 degrees below zero. So who will be able to take that level of cold? Many people will die. These horrific temperatures will last for months. The cold will be horrendous and frightening. The impacting asteroids in the Atlantic and Pacific will cause Yellowstone, which has a mouth of 300 kilometers, to erupt, killing all life right down to the Mississippi Basin. Because of the immensity of the Pacific, all the coasts of China, Indonesia, Australia, the United States, all the coasts of South America, Colombia, Costa Rica, Panama, Guatemala, Nicaragua, Mexico, Peru, Chile, with a coast of 6,000 kilometers on its own, all of these places will be completely razed and devastated. These waves will reach 10,000 meters high at times. This will happen especially in the U.S., as it has a gradual continental shelf. France has a continental shelf of only 200 meters, resulting in 50% of France going underwater. The same will happen in Germany, Poland, Russia, which is also very low, and will suffer, and it will also suffer a similar fate. He says the angels will help the believers, not during the impact of the asteroid, but during World War III, when the Russians, Chinese, and Muslims invade Europe. The war itself will last about 3 weeks, but the invading forces will be here for 3, 4, or 5 months, and you can't imagine the massacre and the brutal savagery that they will inflict on Christian people. Remember that the Russians and the Chinese are all communists. He says that the island of La Palma will collapse into the sea, causing waves of 600 meters on the whole east coast of the United States. The Russians have already evacuated their diplomats from Morocco, knowing because they know something that we don't know. World War III will not affect Central and South America, but the consequence of this nuclear war, a terrible global famine, will. When asked what role Spain will play in all this, he says, "The faith in Spain is already totally destroyed. Spain is finished. It's destroyed. The elite had Spain in its crosshairs, and they have totally destroyed it. In the next 3 years, Spain will go from a population of 49 million people down to 18 million people." He's then asked about the role of the Vatican in all this. He says we should forget about the Vatican because it is now the center of a pagan, ecological, and ecumenical religion. The Vatican is the biggest center, he says, of Satanism in the world. In the last 80 years, the physical structures of the church have been infiltrated by seminarians who were mostly homosexuals and members of the Communist Party, or else they were criminals. In the priesthood now, you find all types of people, including criminals. In these last 80 years, thousands and thousands of these seminarians have infiltrated the church and been legally ordained, but they are not really true priests. They have permeated the physical structures of the church, such as seminaries, convents, monasteries, parishes, bishoprics, etc., and worked their way up to the ecclesiastical ladder to reach the highest level. The result is that we now have a false church which goes unnoticed by the ordinary man and woman in the street. Because of this, we are now in 2021 and find that the church is totally controlled by ecclesiastical Freemasonry. Francis, by the way, is not the result of chance. Francis has been prepared to rise in the church, to assume power, and to destroy the church. It's as simple as that. This is not the result of chance. This is the result of many years of work. They do a coup d'etat on Benedict, and they throw him out, saying, "Either you go, or we'll kill you." Make no mistake about it. Francis's mission was to destroy and to smash the church to pieces, and that objective has been achieved. All that remains now is for a huge scandal to come out of Rome shortly that will sink the church. 2 months ago, Francis eliminated the traditional Latin Mass, and this will precede the elimination of the Eucharist. I think this could happen in December or January, but I don't think it will go beyond April. By the next blood moon in May, the church will have suppressed the Eucharist. He then says they will release a terrifyingly lethal virus in January or February of 2022. People will die in the streets. You will see a lot of corpses in the streets that nobody will remove. He doesn't know the name of it, but he says it's very like Ebola. People will bleed through their eyes, their nose, their mouth, and their ears. This will happen before the war, and people will die within hours. He thinks it will be transmitted through the air. It is also tremendously contagious. He says 90% of the vaccinated will die in the next 2 years. There is no way out of this. Whoever has taken 2 vaccines has no hope whatsoever. The virus that is coming in January or February has no cure. It might be worthwhile, though, to keep an eye on Marian websites to see if some plant or other is recommended later on. In the next month or two, that is November, December, Pfizer will distribute a tablet free of charge. This is very important. He warns everybody, warns them very severely, that anybody who takes this tablet will die in excruciating death. Pfizer will tell you that it's an anti-COVID pill. He says it's important that we realize that during the blackout, they will poison the water supply of large cities as well. In some cities, nobody will be left alive. He thinks this will happen in cities with a population greater than 100,000 people. And boiling the water, by the way, won't solve the problem because the poison will still remain there. This is why I say that what is coming is much worse than what you can ever imagine. And it's even much worse than what I thought it would be myself. This extermination is being directed personally by Lucifer, who is guiding the world elite. He says those who govern the world are non-human entities. He suspects also that because of a war to the death between these people at the top, Satan had to personally assume control of everything. He says the acceleration of events, which is now very fast, makes him suspect this. These events should be happening, he says, in 2026 and not in 2021. This acceleration of events is not normal. It should have been a more gradual process, he thinks. This is why he suspects there has been a war between the global elite causing events to accelerate. After the blackout, World War III and the asteroid, will come events that are even worse. Finally, all the global elite who will take refuge in state-of-the-art underground cities and bunkers will all be drowned and crushed to death. Their bunkers will be their tombs.
Hallelujah. I hope everybody's still awake.
That's right. We
that
sure
was,
are.
That was a lot of information to unravel. Well, Ima, I'm going to let you take the lead on that. I wrote some notes down, and I hope our listeners enjoyed that. And more importantly, I hope they gleaned some, you know, some edifying information. And information that they can use. I definitely heard some truth, and some other things I heard, and I will speak on those. But Iman, let's go to you. What did you think about that flip?
Absolutely. Lots and lots of information. You see, they are realizing, a lot of them, that they are going to be punished if they do not warn the people, you see. All people,
mm-hmm.
not just us, but all people, but mainly us. But it's up to us to be listening to see what is coming up, what has been happening, and what is still happening, and what's going to happen. Now, on that video, I heard that people will be bleeding from their eyes, mouth, ears, and nose. Type of orifices, okay? Now, guess what? If you sit down and think a moment, you will see that that is all coming from what? The head, people, your head. Because if they affect that, they are affecting you so bad you can't see straight, for real. You just cannot see straight because all this is going on from your head, okay? That's one of the things that they want to let you know is going to be happening to you. But, see, it's not going to happen to you if you do what Yah wants you to do. You have to obey him. You have to obey his word. And he, no matter what's going on with all the rest of those people, you will still be protected, you see. While they're dropping like flies, you will be protected. While he's telling us also to get out. We've been telling y'all all these past few years, a lot of us have been together at some point, and now we might have a few new ones in here. He has told us, get out. Get out of the big cities. Get out.
Yeah.
we live in a small city. It's, you know, and it kept getting bigger because they put some military people here, which will protect their own here. Because special forces are here. And they will protect themselves and their own as much as they can, but they, too, will be receiving the same attacks as we are. They're not going to get left out. Okay? Now, as far as military is concerned, they have a mandate to vaccinate the military, you see. You can't say, I don't want it in the military. You have to get it.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
now, if you're close to getting out, if your time is close to being up, you might be able to escape. But that's not everybody. The rest of them that are left behind, still in the military, they have to have the vaccination. One Hebrew girl was in the office a couple of months ago, and I was telling her, I said, you know what? If you are asked to get that vaccination, you need to say no. Oh, I've already got it because what's one more shot? They've given us all kind of shots and everything, so I don't see, you know, it's like I don't see any way out of it. And, you know, her family is wanting her, you see, to take care of, she's got to take care of her sister because they don't have any other family members to take care of each other. So she's taking care of her. But Yah, he's protecting her because she was not sick, hallelujah. But still, we need to try to avoid these things. And like we told all of y'all in the past, this past year, when all this COVID lunacy came up, we told y'all that if you take one shot, hey, next thing you know, they're going to ask you to take another one. You take that one, they're going to ask you to take another one. And as far as COVID is concerned, it's going to keep changing into something a little different from each other to ask you to take that shot. You see, and what has happened? They're asking us to take the shot for, what, booster shot? Woo! For the next variant that's coming out. And now they're working on a third variant. I mean, you know, how many shots are you going to need to take every year before it's over, you see? And so if you don't start taking them, you don't have to worry about them. But that's why you need to get in a place, even now, you have a little time left, to get in a place in the country where you can grow food to take care of yourself. Because if you're not going to take that shot, they're not going to let you buy or sell before it's over. They already are limiting us to what we can buy or sell. And we'll come up with those videos for y'all to hear shortly. But another thing I see where they are saying that the planet that's coming, I forget the name of it. They said
he called it Planet X.
X. Okay.
Yeah. But I think he's referring to Nibiru. Some people call it Nibiru.
Nibiru. I couldn't think. Yes, Nibiru. Now, that kind of planet, when it breaks into pieces, one of the pieces is going to fall down here in the Gulf of Mexico, is what they were saying, and it's going to knock the water up all the way across parts of Florida. And we've seen this in many other spots where they say it's going to start at the Mississippi River, and it's called something, but it's been so many years, I can't think of the name of it. But it's named after a little town on the Mississippi River. And Mississippi, if y'all don't know, flows from from west to east. Then it flows straight down from north to south, down to the Gulf. And that is going to crack open for some reason and create all kind of blues for people that live close to it. That is going to be underwater. You don't have to be close to the water, people. On the east coast, the west coast, the south coast, the north coast where the water is, guess what? Remember those holes that keep popping up and they are big crater kind of holes. For no reason, they just pop open, swallows up whole houses and sometimes whole neighborhoods and that kind of thing. You can have that to happen no matter where you live. This is why you got to depend on the Most High. You got to depend on Yahushua to take care of you. In the name of Yahushua, you got to depend on that. Because if you depend on where you think you're going to live, so you think you're going to be able to avoid these things that he was talking about, where the water was going to come up 600 meters from the water to land and going to cover the Canary Islands and Cuba and all that. And it's going to be, look, do not be afraid because Yah is with you. He will tell you where to go. Just like Elbow was saying earlier, he walks with us. Listen to it. Listen to that. It is true. He walks with us. He talks with us. But we got to be willing to listen. We got to have our eyes and ears open because he talks to us. That's why he is our friend, our father. And Yahushua is our brother. They talk to us. Guess what? You don't have to have your mouth working to be talking to the Father. You talk to him without your mouth moving. He talks to you in your head. You talk back to him in your head. It is telepathy. There's a reason why these demons know about it, because they know that that's how y'all communicate with us. So be looking, be listening, and be ready to get on the move out of those big cities, because they can kill more of us in the big city than they can anywhere else. Chicago, big buildings full of us. New York, big building, tall buildings full of us. Yeah. These little tiny apartments. In L.A., San Francisco, all those big cities, Atlanta, all the big cities have big stacked up apartments, and they can kill so many of us in one blast. That's what that's about.
That's right.
Just like down here in Florida, when the people were in the building, they was enjoying their good life that they was able to afford because they had the money, plenty of money. Guess what? You see what happened to them? The building collapsed. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It collapsed. So it don't have to be war to take you down, to take you out. It doesn't have to be anything that anybody can see. It just all of a sudden, you're at home, you're relaxing, and boom, the floor falls out from under you with you standing on it. That's why we have to depend on the Father, because no matter what's going on, he will be with us. And he was saying something that was very nice to me. He said that the water, when the trouble time comes in your area, the water can be boiled, but the poison will still be there. It'll still be in the
water. That's right.
So you can't even boil the poison out. Isn't that something?
Can't boil it out.
These people are so low down. It's unreal. So they'll still be killing you. You won't even feel it or taste it, but, hey, it will be killing you until all of a sudden you see yourself going down and you can't get up. Okay? So let's keep that in mind. And most priests, he's saying, are homosexuals now. And they have taken over the Catholic Church and other churches that have these little priest outfits on. They have taken over because they are punks. I'm sorry to say that. You know, they don't want to hear the real word, but they are not just homosexuals. They are punks. They are faggots. They are et cetera. Because men that don't think like a man, they do crazy things to you and to themselves.
Hallelujah.
So let's remember that. They will sacrifice a woman, especially because she don't mean nothing to them. She's
That's
not
right.
special to those kind of people, shall we call them. So little girls are not going to be special to them. That's why they want the children to be learning how to not have a parent, because the parents are supposed, well, we used to teach our children how to be a man and how to be a woman,
mm-hmm.
because that's what they look like in the diaper, and that's what they were supposed to be. Y'all made them the way they were supposed to be. He didn't say, I'm going to make this different, look like that, but in the future they can change their mind. No, it's not up for you to change it. Only Yah made you the way you're supposed to be. But since our children are not being taken to services to teach them about who they are and how they should be, then we end up with all this faggotism. We end up with all these homosexuals everywhere. And they try and, on TV, try and make it seem like there are plenty of homosexuals, but they're not. It's just a small percentage of people that are homosexual.
Mm-hmm.
And then now they want to blame that on us too. They want to blame the Hebrew Israelites by saying there's more black ones than there's white ones. Oh, that's another lie. You see?
Oh, wow.
Lies plus lies equal lies. And we got the school teachers teaching the children that, you know what? You can be whatever you want to be. I know you're in trouble for something else, some boy stuff, but guess what? You know, you can be whatever you want to be. You can be a boy or a girl or something in between. And then they got these boys. I saw a boy on the news, a tall boy, big boy, big Gentile boy, and he has decided to get on the girls' swimming team so he could win because the man body is stronger than the female body, and it's the muscles are more lean. The muscles are longer in their body. So sure,
mm-hmm.
they can outswim the women. Sure they can.
Right.
But you got to watch yourself. You can't just let the boys get over there and take over the girls' fun. Gee. Because that boy made a teacher, the swimming coach quit. She said, I just can't do it. I can't do it. I can't deal with it. I'm through with this. I'm through. And so she put in her resignation and left. And that's the college team. So he run around there, and you know that these homosexuals, they let everybody know they're homosexual. But guess what? They let them know so they can go into the girls' restroom. And what could they be doing in the girls' restroom? Well, they could be raping and pillaging, or they could be in there doing something even more demonic, but we don't want to talk about that right now. But they can be in there pretending that they're going in there as a girl, but when they get in there, they looking at the girls like they are a man, because they are a man. Okay?
And
yeah, it's a little confusing. So they got to, you know, homosexuals need their own bathroom. But the school's not going to necessarily designate that. They want to challenge you and say, I want to go in a separated bathroom. I want to go in the girls' bathroom. And that's what they do. It's maddening. It's maddening. But he's saying that the global elite will be underground, you know, in their nice little cities underground. Well, we do, most of us know that they do have it where under the airport, especially over there in the West, under the airport, they have a city already built under the airport for these so-called
Denver, Colorado Airport.
And they have all kind of pictures on the wall that show you what's really going on in there, but you have to be able to look at that picture and understand what's going on.
Yep.
You just can't just look, that's a pretty picture. It's more than that. And they have to stop the madness on that. But they not. And what did he say? He said that they will be on the ground and crushed to death. So see,
that's
what
right.
y'all tell us? The rocks will fall on you.
Fall on them.
And that's what it's all about. Yeah. Running here and fro, if it's going to be happening to you, it's going to happen to you. If it's his will, it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't be depending on yourself, shall I say. to
That's right.
do something. Just stay above ground and deal with whatever comes. He will wash you away on a boat, on a piece of wood, whatever he wants to do, if he wants you to survive.
Right.
But these are the kind of things that we have to keep in mind no matter what's going on. And we all know about that Mississippi River. It always has its place in destruction. Remember that. But those are the, some of the things that I wrote down, because I know Elvis got those other ones that were on there. But, you know, we're going to have to look for that information online and print it off or save the email so we can listen to it again. Because people, you need to print off stuff if you can. When you see a printed version, there's probably a video version. And so what we want to do is try and print out things, because the paper is going to be important, because when they knock the internet down and kill it, then we're going to need that piece of paper.
Hallelujah.
Because they can kill the internet off, and everything we have been saving on the computer, boom, we can't even get to it anymore. Okay?
That's right.
So that is the problem right there, because we're finding that we're having problems trying to stay on the computer in different venues of the computer. Yahoo, they can cut you off if they want to. The site that you're putting your information on, if you put on information that's upsetting them, hey, they will cut you off of there. You have to petition them to get back on and say why you said what you said, and that's why they're calling it the other things now. You can't call it what it is, because if their software hears that, then they will go in there and cut you off. So
that's right.
Let's remember to do these things. Okay, Elva, I'm going to leave it back to you so you can discuss that video as well.
Hallelujah. Ema, you said so many things. I think I would kind of be overlapping some of the things you said. Like I mentioned, to the viewers, to go into it with a discerning ear. Let the Ruach HaKodesh be your filter. Hallelujah. You know, to chew the meat, spit out the bone, listen to it with a discerning ear. And if you did, you pick up a lot of good, useful information. Now, one of the things, well, let me just I'm going to back up and say some things that maybe some people might have some questions on, you know, as they were going through it. Maybe he had heavy emphasis on the water, destruction by water. Now, there was, let's see if I get the scripture here. It says, oh boy, Genesis. I wrote them down, Ema, but I'll keep talking for the sake of radio. Here it is, Genesis 9:11. Matter of fact, let me just read that. Now, I know he didn't say the whole world would be destroyed by water, but he had a great emphasis. Pretty much all the islands, pretty much all the coastlines, all around the whole world, because he says all the coastal cities. That means every city that's on the coast will be destroyed by water. That means water is pretty much, and if you look at a map of the earth and you look at the populated areas, most of the heavily populated areas are coastal. They're coastal cities, the coast to west coast. You know, you got the Bay Area, San Francisco, Oakland, San Jose, and, you know, that's about 10, 11 million people there. And then you got the L.A., probably another 20 or so million. All up and down, Seattle, Portland, all up and down the coast. Then the East Coast, tons of heavily populated areas on the East Coast. All the way from, you know, from Boston, New York, all the Philadelphia, all these cities, Washington, D.C. You just keep naming them, you know, so that's a lot, and that's just the United States. And then you have your coastal cities. I don't know if Houston's right on the coast, but it's not far from the coast. And Houston's a big, you have your Miami, Tampa, all those cities. So, you know, and then you look at the cities in Central America, South America, Rio de Janeiro, all those, you know, the African cities, the big, heck, the city, I forgot the coast, I forgot the city of Nigeria. Oh, my, Lagos or something like that. I think Lagos is the city. I mean, it's, I think it has a population as many as New York City or even bigger. Coastal cities, a lot of coastal cities. You know, Europe has the coastal cities, London and all those. So that's a, and I'm not going to give a geography lesson, but, you know, you got your Asian cities too, and Japan and China and everything, all of them on the water. When you see Tokyo and Hong Kong, all on the water. So that's, what are we saying here? That's a lot of destruction. That's could be the majority, you know, coastal, all over the world. So what did he say in Genesis? I'm just going to read this, and this is not trying to, you know, spark a debate or nothing like this, but it did say in Genesis 9:11, Yahuwah says, "And I will establish my covenant with you." Now, he's already had destroyed the world with water. That's the first destruction. Okay, he destroyed it with water. So now he's saying, he's speaking to mankind. You know, Noah's recording these. Well, of course, we know the first five books was actually written by Moshe, but here's the account. He's telling us, mankind, he's telling us through the ages, written down in his word. He says, in Genesis 9:11, it says, "And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth."
Mm-hmm.
That was turning in my head as he was talking about all this water destruction. Now, there may be some water destruction, but to what magnitude, you know, to what extent, if it was going, and this prophet that he, this information, he quoted some, this was heavily Catholic too, you know, he was talking about the Eucharist and everything, and, you know, he talked about the Catholic priest, and this, I guess this was a prophet, one of these Catholic prophets he was quoting, and this guy was, I guess it was a guy, he was quoting him almost like it was scripture itself. So I was saying, wait a minute, who is this guy? You know, what authority? I'm not saying that the operation, you know, office of the prophet is not active for today, but I would like to know some more about this person who he's quoting, you know, this so-called prophet that he's quoting. So it says, neither shall, I just want to, that one sentence, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. So it was a lot of emphasis on water. So that, you know, that's just some questions I would have to go through. Now, some people say, well, you talk about Planet X. Planet X, I've heard about this for probably almost a decade now, if not more. I know people use the term interchangeably with Nibiru, the planet Nibiru. Some say that they have seen it, I guess through telescope. And, of course, the mainstream authorities saying no, they have not seen Nibiru, you know. So, but, well, they don't want to make it public and say, well, there is this big body, you know, planetary body heading for us. So if you ask the so-called experts, just like the Fauci is supposed to be the expert on this virus, they would probably say, no, that's no such thing. That's conspiracy theory. But others swear by this Planet X and Nibiru. Now, why am I bringing up Nibiru? Because is it biblical? Is it biblical? Well, I want to go to the Word, and we want to look at something here. Revelation chapter 8. Now, this is just for you to take back home and digest it on your own time. Pray and digest this. But in Revelation chapter 8, verses 10 and 11, it reads as follows. Now, we're talking about the planet Nibiru. Could this be Nibiru? I'm not vouching for it and saying it is, but I'm not saying it isn't either. But listen here. It says, and the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, planetary body, okay, a star from heaven. Burning were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the river and upon the fountains of water. So that's why he said he was saying that this prophet person was saying that Nibiru is going to split up on hitting the Earth's atmosphere. One part's going to fall into the Atlantic Ocean, and it looked like a larger part's going to fall into the Pacific. And I think those two parts. If he said another part, it slipped my mind. But so this is going to cause all type of tidal waves and tsunamis, you know, all type of catastrophes. So I guess this is where all these coastal cities or areas are going to be damaged. He said all the islands are going to be completely underwater. He named some peninsulas and then all the coastal cities. I mean, I guess all the coastlines of every continent. That's what it sounds like. Okay, and here's verse 11. Now, is this Nibiru? And it says, and the name of the star, or planetary body, the name of the star is called Wormwood. Wormwood. W-O-R-M. Wormwood. Okay? Hey, that could be it. Some people swear by it and say that's Nibiru. That's Planet X. And the third part of the waters became Wormwood. So they became Wormwood. I guess the substance from Wormwood, part of the waters, either were destroyed or they became Wormwood. I guess it became desolate. You know, this big body, this mass hitting the earth at those speeds, it's going to displace a lot of the water. So the water that could have been in the middle of the Atlantic, it might wind up in the middle of the United States or in the, and here's another part. This leaves me, I'm about to say, in the middle of Africa. But he didn't say anything about Africa. He named a lot. He almost named, I believe, Asia, Europe, the United States, you know, the Americas. I didn't hear him name Africa at all. I don't know if that was intentional or just overlooked Africa. But he did not name Africa at all. But it said the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became Wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Okay, so you could take that home and digest it the way, you know, the Spirit leads you. So, but some swear by that and says Wormwood is referring to Nibiru or Planet X. So, Iman, he did not mention Africa, but he did say 90% of the vax will die, I think, within the next 2 years. And then he said, I guess on their way, he says, those who are fully vaxxed are undergoing biological changes. Okay, so biological changes. You were saying that your army, the army people will ultimately, I guess the ones who are not right at the door of retirement, they're going to have to take the jab. So if they take the jab, you would have, and if this is true what he's saying, they're going through these biological changes and genetic changes, that's biology, and here we are, you know, hoping that, you know, our men and women in uniform supposedly be fighting for their country or fighting for the countrymen, not just fighting for the government. You know, a lot of wicked people are leading the government. But if they're undergoing these changes, that and have them set up or be programmed to actually turn against their own countrymen, you know, because if they're being controlled.
Very true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they're being controlled and programmed.
Let me answer this question for you. After you're asking, why has he not mentioned Africa? You see how devious that is? That is, they are feeling that Africa will not be as affected because Hebrews are there. So that is why they want to run themselves over there, especially China right now. They want to run themselves over there. All the other countries are already over there. They want to save enough of them people to be over us in Africa again.
There you go.
Like the good
old
days. That's what they want. Okay, that's all I got to say. I'm through, Elba.
Oh, no. That's true. There's a lot of truth in that. I mean, look at China. They're building these, what they call these ghost cities, building these big skyscrapers, these cities, and nobody is dwelling in them. Okay,
at
go figure. But I look at that, and the Bible says, well, you live in houses you didn't build. You drink from wells that you didn't dig. Could this be the fulfillment of that prophecy? Could they be building it for us and don't even know that they're building it for us? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I like what me personally, I'm not giving no financial advice, but I personally like the part that he talked about, take the money out of the bank. There has been many renowned economists, and financial advisors, that's supposed to be the pillar of the financial world, the rock currency, you know, the currency of choice. You know, you trade on the dollar, you trade oil on the dollar, everything is on the dollar. Every other currency is compared to the dollar. Is how they get their value, how they equate their value. They calculate it from the dollar. Well, we know the dollar is going under. The dollar's really under now, but it's artificially afloat because the feds are just printing money, they're printing monopoly money. So like the .com. Yeah, just like the .coms. Everybody thought those were, these .coms, invest in those. Now, these were just ideas. These were just theories. It was nothing tangible, and people were just throwing millions into it, and what happened? It went belly up. It burst. Same way about the dollar. It has no real value. It hasn't been backed by gold or silver for decades. It has no real value, but it's artificially propped up now by the Fed printing money, printing paper money, fiat money. But pretty soon, there's going to be a day of reckoning when that doesn't hold water anymore. I don't know what that day is going to be. It could be when another country invades America or call in their loans. China, America is so much indebted to China. And then they'll see that that's not worth nothing. And here we go. Like they say, you can't even buy a loaf of bread, even if you have a wheelbarrow full of money. So I think it's smart to start getting another plan, be ahead of the curve. You know, some of us, I don't want to say us, but some people, I'll say, have thousands of dollars in these financial institutions, these banks. They're not getting hardly anything, no interest, probably 1%, maybe 2%. You know, nothing. I don't care if it's a CD account, 90-day, 120-day, 6 months. Interest on a dollar is horrible. And they got their money locked in, and the bank is making money off of their money during that time. And when those CDs mature, you hardly have nothing to gain from them. So start thinking about putting your money in other assets, harder assets, like maybe precious metals, silver, gold. This blockchain thing, you know, I'm still feeling my way through that. Some people are way ahead of me on that. Some of the younger people, you know, they know about the digital currency, and, you know, some of them spend all day studying it. I haven't seen anyone bounce up and, you know, break free from the pack and say, wow, I haven't seen a lot of black millionaires come from this yet. I'm not saying there aren't any. Just haven't heard. If there are some, it's the world's best kept secret. I haven't seen it. Now I got my little measly penny.
That land will always be there. That land will always be there. Buy some land.
There you go.
Gold, silver, and any kind of multiple kind of money is worthless. But land is hard currency. Buy some land and grow some food on it. On top of that,
grow some food.
But buy plenty of land. If you got plenty of money, buy plenty of land. Because you can sell it.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. At least you can have the land at least while these devils don't try to, you know, call in their wicked system to take that, you know, to confiscate that land from, you know, the rules of their system. Like you said, the money won't be worth nothing, you know, silver, even silver and gold, I mean, they could make that value. They could just say it is. Now, let's just say you got land and then the dollar's not worth nothing, but they say you still got to pay taxes. So what are you going to do?
Make sure you have tax money left.
Yeah, you got to have something. But those who don't have the tax money, them devils could come in and try to confiscate your land. So I don't want to get negative because the Most High has us. He has us, you know. Now, here's the thing he left out. I don't know if Yah hid this from his eyes. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, of course, but Revelation 12, how about the Most High's people? He didn't mention that at all. And we know the Most High's people and that there's going to be a time that the Most High calls his people away from these lands of their captivity. Let's just start at verse 12. Now, if you haven't read, fellas, now if we try to go through all of these, starting at verse 12. So we know Israel is the woman that they're talking about. The man-child was Yahushua. Hallelujah. And we know the dragon, the serpent, is Satan. So here we go. It says, therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell on them, but woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. They're going to see again, for the devil, that's Satan, has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he has but a short time. We're in the end times. Okay, here we go. And when the dragon, Hashetan, saw that he was cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman. Okay, so he persecuted Israel, which brought forth the man-child, Yahushua, a Mashiach. And to the woman... Now, look at the protection we're going to get. And this parallels like with Psalm 91. The protection. Mm-hmm. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness. Hallelujah. Now, maybe if, you know, to be fair, maybe if he had more time, maybe he could have brought this out. But I don't know if he would have brought it out. That she might fly into the wilderness and to her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time, 3.5 years, from the face of the serpent. So Yah's people are going to be protected. See? So it says, and just two more verses. And the serpent cast out his mouth. So he hasn't given up. He's coming after the woman, coming after Israel. He said, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman. Now, is the water going to destroy us? Listen, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. Last verse here, I'm reading. And the earth helped the woman. Hallelujah. Yahuwah caused the earth to help in her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Now, what people are they talking about? Yes, it's his people, but it's going to be some identifying characteristics of his people. That's why I do have to read more verse. Sorry about that. Verse 17, this is the last verse. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Listen to this. Mm-hmm. Which keep, look for these characteristics, this fruit. Remember, say you're known by their fruit, and that's why I say you're known by their fruit. Which keep the commandments of Yahuwah and have the testimony of Yahushua HaMashiach. Hallelujah. So you're not talking about those people who deny the Messiah. Wipe them off. Wipe them off the slate. Have nothing to do with this. But he's talking about the people who believe and trust in the Mashiach, who follows the Mashiach, and who keeps the commandment of the Most High. Hallelujah. That's what you. That's the fruit
Hallelujah.
You look for. You see people doing that? If you don't see people doing that, don't go with that crowd. Hallelujah. Yeah, what are you doing with those people? And Ema, after this, I'm going to play that video of yours. It says, Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of you, he is my refuge and my fortress, my Alua. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Yeah, he didn't mention that. And from the noisome pestilence. See all this hell that's going on. He shall deliver. He said, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. Shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid. Nothing to fear for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Okay, let's go down a little more. 1,000 shall fall at thy side. So he is right. A lot are going to fall. And 10,000 at thy right hand. But listen here. But it shall not come nigh thee, his righteous. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. That's the only part that we're going to participate in. Only with our eyes. Because thou hast made Yahuwah, which is thy refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Therefore shall no evil befall thee. Neither shall any plague, he talked about that new virus coming, like you said, Iman, is going to be bleeding from your eyes and your nose. He said, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels, his Malachim, charge over thee, keep thee in all thy ways. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me stop right there. So the people of the Most High are protected, and we just wanted to let them know. We want to reiterate that. You have to balance this with Scripture. Yes, he did give a lot of good information, but Scripture is the final authority. So, Ema, this is a video that you passed on, and it looks like a good one. We're talking about this lady in Chicago has went crazy, this mayor, and she's requiring proof of vaccination to enter into, it says, most businesses starting January 3rd. Let's get right to it for time's sake. Hallelujah. Give me a... about 10 seconds to cue it up.
Okay, Elder. Toda for doing that.
All right. I got it queued up, and we are ready to go.
All right.
That's the reason for the new proof of vaccine mandate. She made the announcement today alongside officials of the Department of Public Health and the Department of Business Affairs and Consumer Protection.
WGN's Shannon Halligan is here now to break down this new policy.
Yeah, well, in Chicago alone, there is an average of 1,700 new cases of people infected with COVID every day, a nearly 80% increase from 1 week ago. And as the Omicron variant is now sweeping the city, local leaders hope that this order will be the measure to get the unvaccinated vaccinated.
Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing everybody in Chicago knows somebody who has COVID right now, because we are in the middle of the biggest COVID surge that we have seen since before vaccines were available.
Positivity rates, cases, hospitalizations, and deaths are all on the rise. Because of that, Mayor Lori Lightfoot announced starting January 3rd, everyone over the age of 5 will be required to show proof of vaccination at indoor venues. That
age of 5?
Indoor dining establishments, indoor gyms, or indoor entertainment and recreation venues where food or beverages are served.
Whether it's your actual card, whether it's a photograph, whether it's something on your phone, but you must show proof.
The mayor said these indoor settings are historically the riskiest places for spread, and that's why the city is focusing on them.
This health order may pose an inconvenience to the unvaccinated, and its actions is inconvenient by design.
This vaccine requirement does not include places such as houses of worship, grocery stores, locations inside O'Hare or Midway airports, residential or office buildings, soup kitchens, and schools. Also exempt are people going into establishments for less than 10 minutes for carrying out or food delivery.
If you wish to live life as normally as possible, with the ease to do the things that you love, you must be vaccinated in the city of Chicago starting January 3rd.
And this order will remain in effect until the city deems that the threat of COVID-19 to the public has diminished significantly. So, of course, that is still to be determined.
Mm. All right, Shannon, thank you.
Wow.
There you go.
Wow.
There you go.
Wow. I'm going to let you speak on that. But that lady looks scary. You should see that mare. I don't know. She reminded me of this character called Pat that used to be on Saturday Night Live. But go ahead, Eva. What's your thought on that? 5 years old, you got to be. I mean, five and up. All right.
Five
go ahead, Eva.
That's what she said. Now, you heard that one. But let me explain also. This is happening with quite a few mayors that are having big cities that they're over. See, that's why he told you to get out those cities. Get out. Now, it says also, I have another video, but it's 9 minutes, and we don't have time for that tonight. But I'm going to tell you, it says no buying or selling in where? Elba, Washington, D.C., unless you have proof of the jab.
I heard of that
one.
I'm closer to that one, that area.
Yeah, you're real close. And Elba, with that going on, if your state governor or the city you want to go to, let's say, eat some Ethiopian food, and that city has these mandates, then you cannot go in there and eat without having the jab. Yeah.
I'll have to learn how to cook it myself.
I guess so. Now, also, keep in mind, family, that the mayor of D.C. is a black woman. And the mayor of Chicago is a black woman. They trying to use
that's
us first to mess everybody up. So they can say, well, you know, those big cities did it, so y'all need to. Not, but, you know, the mayor of New York, well, we all know what that's about. He's crazy anyway. But even in Georgia, the mayor of the city is a black woman. So she's going to be coming up with it next. I got to look that up. So everybody, look at your computer or look on your phone if you get a chance and see where these things are happening. No buying,
right.
No selling. Just look up no buying or no buying, put in no buying and no selling, and these kind of things come up. You'd be surprised what cities are saying that you're not going to be able to do anything. And this is why they already know that after December, it's going to be real hard to go anywhere to visit family or anything else. Do you know even in Atlanta when we were there last year, or shall I say earlier this year, guess what? You can't stop anywhere to use the restroom. You can't stop at the gas station. You can't stop at the corner station that doesn't have gas. You cannot stop at a restaurant around Atlanta. You couldn't do it and think you're going to use the bathroom there. Because one girl told me, she said, look, you might as well not go anywhere else because everything up and down this street in this whole area, you will not be able to use the bathroom. So luckily, I got a good constitution, like the old people say. So I said, okay, I'm going to have to wait till I get out of this town. So once I got out of town, out of Atlanta, sure, we could use the restrooms. But in Atlanta, no. Not only no, but never. You're not going to get to use the restroom. Because they have them going crazy.
Oh,
these are Hebrews. A town full of Hebrews doing this to people. So
all
know,
I have to say, Ima, all I have to say is they're going to Atlanta's going to have a strange smell to it because it's going to be a lot of people, not just men either, going behind buildings, behind cars and trucks, and doing what they have to do when that alarm bell rings, because everybody don't have a good constitution like you. And I'm telling you, when you got to go, you got to go. So it's going to be some strange smells coming from Atlanta and these cities.
And behind the bushes.
and behind the highways, whatever you're going to need to do. See,
yeah, I'm telling
we used to do that for our children. We could stop along the highway and let them get out and use the restroom. But, hey, they doing it to the adults.
Now it's going to be adults stopping them along the highway.
Hey, maybe they're going to put a bunch of, what you call them, potties on the edges of the road.
I don't know the way they're going. They're going to make the unvaxxed uncomfortable, like she says, and she says on purpose that she's making the unvaxxed uncomfortable.
And they're saying they weren't saying if you have not had the vax, that's just anybody that walk in there. Well, I know you got a restaurant.
Right.
Well, yeah, we have one, but you can't use it. So that's what they are talking about. So just be careful, family. Be careful. So next week we'll play the other two. Because this one in D.C., if you can look it up, listen to the whole thing, because it's about these conferences are about an hour, but I got the pieces that are shorter versions and about the basic that they are talking about. You need to have a proof of the jab because it's this and that. But there is one family that I want to say before we get ready to get out of here shortly, and that one is about the white women, the white woman is saying Christianity is the Trojan horse of white supremacy to justify what's done to blacks. Did you hear that? Did you understand that? It's a long, that's a title.
Wow.
White woman says Christianity, the Trojan horse of white supremacy. So look up Trojan horse of white supremacy. Maybe that'll bring that one up.
Writing that down.
She's got kind of blonde brown hair. And she's got her eyelashes pasted on. You know, that's how they do it. But they use that in the church to call upon white supremacy to justify what they do to us. Okay, what was done to us. Now, I say let's watch them. Let's watch our steps, because sometimes they can be your friend, but make sure that they are going to be your friend. Or just leave them alone altogether and just only try and find. See, I found out that you can't have but a couple of friends. Two or three friends is all you can have that you know.
If that meant.
It's crazy, but that's the way it really is. And so
hallelujah.
If you got a bunch of friends, watch your step, because somebody going to want to be you. If you are the leader, they're going to want to take your place. And then they're going to want you to pay them to lead them. See, that's the key, just like the church guy. So, you know, I don't know. So sometimes that happens to their brains. So lead them out. They want special privileges. Look, Elder, they want special privileges and honors.
Of course.
That they don't deserve and that they don't need. They want
That's
something
right.
that they don't need and something they don't deserve. Watch those.
Definitely don't deserve. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. That's a
well,
built-in
that's all I got
gene there. Yeah, our time
pulling.
Is up. And
yeah,
I just want to leave the family, leave the family with these words. No matter how bleak it looks and how dark it's going to get, follow the words of the prophet Isaiah in his chapter 55, verses 6 and 7, as he says, "Seek ye Yahuwah while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. The wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man and woman their thoughts. And let them return unto Yahuwah, and he will have mercy upon them, and to the Most High, for he will abundantly pardon." Hallelujah. And Shaul says, "There be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these type of thoughts. You know, yes, it's darkness all around us, and it's going to get darker. But the light shines even that much brighter in the darkness." Hallelujah. So seek ye
Hallelujah.
While he may be found. Hallelujah. And that's about it, Ema. Hallelujah.
Okay. All right. Told our elders for playing those videos. And that one, that first one you played was just on point. But you, I want to say this about that video. It's only a video made for them because they only think about themselves.
Of
now,
course.
Remember that, family. They only think about themselves. That's why they didn't hear, put anything in there for us to hear about Africa because they could care less about what's going on over there. But mainly they could care less about mentioning it so it won't be in our minds because they know that they are planning on going over there and getting in our way and taking up our property, taking up our people, want to be over our people like we're dumb as doorknobs, but we're not. That's a lock and thing. We rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Yahshua.
Yeah, Usha.
Okay. So that's all I'm going to say. Yahshua will take care of it. That's it.
That's
all
right.
I'm going to play the song to end program this evening. Let me see. I had it right here. There it goes. So here we are, blowing in the wind.
white culture, if you could even call it culture.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo. I love that one.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
We're going to call it a night. Thank all of you for listening to the program, whether you're listening tonight or listening tomorrow night or next month. It doesn't matter. Just take care. See what you need to see. Y'all can look up stuff just like we can. And we might have something different than you do. And you might have something you need to let us know about. So go right ahead. And we're going to close it out. Shalom, family.
Shalom, family. Good night.
Yes, good night.